from Adonai Yeshua.
Hallelujah.
And you have gifts within you He desires to manifest in your daily lives. For we are not whole unless the whole body of Messiah is operating in the gifts that He's invested in us. For we rejoice when we see those gifts being manifest.
Amen.
We're encouraged. And the body of Messiah is whole and complete.
Amen.
Father, I just thank You for this time that we can gather together during Sukkot. We're tabernacling together with You, O God. I thank You, O Lord, that we are Your possession,
Amen.
Almighty God. And I thank You, Father, that You wanted me to share a word of testimony, a very short one in brief. I know that I'm the possession of Adonai Yeshua. You may ask why. Well, in the last 2 days, I've traveled over 500 miles to be here.
Amen. Wow.
I've spent over 9 hours on the road traveling back and forth. Some would say, well, that's a great sacrifice. But when you are Adonai Yeshua's possession, whatever He calls you to do, it is not a sacrifice. For He has sacrificed all that we can be who we are in Him.
Amen.
And we can sacrifice from here through all eternity and we'll never repay back Him for His sacrifice of His precious blood, etc. Praise be to His name.
Amen.
Has anyone ever heard about a floating sukkah? That sounds odd, doesn't it?
It does.
And it did to me too. And I was preparing a message on Sukkot, but the Lord said, no, you're going to be sharing and completing today the floating sukkah. And He will give me confirmation when I came into the sanctuary. Good news for Israel. What does it show? On the very front here it states, are we living like in the days of Noah? And that's what I'm going to be sharing about today, not strictly from this magazine. But the Lord said, just share these headings really, really quick. Here are the top 40 signs of our times. Increased instability of nature. Earthquakes, tsunamis, and storms. And here's the Bible verse here. And I want you to get a copy of this. They're back there. You don't even have to run out there now and get it. But look up these Bible verses. Increased lawlessness and violence. Increased immorality. Increased materialism. Increased hedonism. Increased influence of humanism. Depraved entertainment, calling evil good and good evil. Increased use of drugs, increased blasphemy, increased paganism, increased despair. Signs in the heavens, increased knowledge, increased travel. The explosion of cults, the proliferation of false messiahs and false Christs. The increased apostasy in the body of Messiah. Increased attacks on Yeshua, increased attacks on the Bible. Increased persecution of Jews and Christians, increased occultism, wars and rumors of wars, weapons of mass destruction, increased famine and pestilence, television, computer, and satellite technology, far eastern military powers, movement toward one world government, the regathering of our Jewish people, the reestablishment of Israel, the reclamation of land of Israel, revival of biblical Hebrew, the reoccupation of Jerusalem, resurgence of Israeli military, refocusing world politics on Israel, denial of the second coming, denial of the creation of God, translation of the Bible into many languages, the preaching of the good news to the whole wide world. And you may say, well, that is a lot of bad news. No, it's good news because it was proclaimed through Yeshua and by His holy prophets of old. Yes, we are living in the days of Noah. Now let us turn to Genesis. That's Bereshit chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. Genesis chapter 6. So you may be thinking, what do you mean by a floating sukkah? What is our sukkah made out mostly outside here? Wood. What was the ark made out of mostly? Wood. And you know what? Adonai declared to Noah, he was to bring things in that one floating sukkah, things that the animals could eat and partake of. And some of those things are right here in front of us. Because the animals would eat these different things. Or you know what? Even give a great fragrance. Could you imagine what that sukkah smelled like for over 150 days? Can you imagine that? I'm going to set this over here so it's exalted. It's not laying on the ground there. So let us begin now in Bereshit, that is chapter 6, starting in verse 11. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and yes, it was corrupt, for all living things had been corrupted, their ways on the earth. God said to Noah, "The end of all living beings have come before me. For because of them, the earth is filled with violence, and I'll destroy them along with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood," as I interpret a floating sukkah. "And you are to make the ark with rooms and to cover it with pitch both outside and inside. Here's how you're to build it. The length of the ark is to be 450 feet, its width 75 feet, the height 45 feet. You are to make an opening for daylight in the ark, 18 inches below its roof." We're to make an opening in our sukkah so that we may see what? The glory of the signs in the universe that proclaim the seasons and the times of Adonai. Have you ever read that before in the scripture? That 18 inches, there was an opening there that they could focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's continue. "But put a door on its side and build it with lower and second and third decks. Then I myself will bring a flood of water over the whole earth to destroy it from under heaven. Every living thing that breathes, everything on the earth will be destroyed. But I will establish my covenant with you. You will come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife's sons with you. From everything, every living thing, from each kind of living being, you are to bring two in the ark. You are to keep them alive with you. And you are to, they are to be male and female. Of each kind of bird, each kind of livestock, and each kind of animal creeping on the ground, two are to come to you so that they may be kept alive. Also take from all the kinds of food that are eaten." Did you hear that? All kinds of food. So these species were brought into the ark and many others so the animals would be sustained for over 150 days. Let's continue. "And collect it for yourself. It is food for you and for them." Now what Noah did, he did all that God had ordered him to do. Could you imagine how horrific this notion must have been, this news? It was bad news that God was going to destroy the whole wide earth. But God made provision for his holy remnant, did he not? Right now, I'm going to ask some people to come up here who are couples. If you're married, come and stand and face the congregation. I need four sets of couples. Just come and stand. It'll just be for a few moments. This is a living illustration. If Alberta was here, Ed, why don't you come up here? Alberta may be joining us shortly. This was what the Lord was declaring. He was going to destroy the whole known earth. And just imagine this. Only eight survived. There are times when we read this portion and it just goes over our heads. Can you imagine the whole population of our earth today would be reduced only to four couples? You may go and sit down. Thank you for your participation. Maybe Noah thought to himself, "Well, God, this news is so great. It's so beyond me." Maybe it passed his mind. Maybe you would do just as you did to my great-grandfather, Enoch. Couldn't you just simply transplant us some other place? Couldn't you just simply take us up to heaven? That could have very well crossed his mind. But he wanted Noah and his family to bear witness, to go through trials and tribulations, Just as we are facing trials and tribulations, and there are those who are yet to come. But we're not to walk in fear, but to walk in joy, that know that as we walk through trials and tribulation, Adonai is there. And if we are his possession, and if we are walking and walking in his power and his might, as we find ourselves in many, many situations that are beyond our comprehension, know that his provision will be there for us in these latter days. God will send us out as Noachs, asking people to come to our sukkahs, which is our holy temples, our bodies, where the Spirit of the living God resides. And they will see the joy and the light that shines from all your different sukkahs, you living sukkahs, you temples of the most living God. But Noah did not interrupt Adonai at this point. He just simply listened by faith. By faith, Noah knew Adonai would make a way both to preserve him and his family. Now let us turn quickly to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. And it goes on to say, to those who were disobedient long ago in the days of Noah, when God waited patiently during the building of the ark, in which a few people, to be specific, eight, and you saw that living illustration before you, were delivered by means of water, the very means that delivered the faithful who put their trust in Adonai Yeshua. Noah could have said to Adonai there and said this in his heart, choose someone else. But many of us, when we read the passage, we skip over that portion that says that Adonai's eyes searched throughout the whole earth and he found one individual that he deemed as righteous. Not by his own works, but by his trust in provision that Adonai had placed in his heart for 500 years. Let's continue. That very means of water, by not trusting in Adonai Yeshua, brought destruction on the rest of humanity and the animals. Adonai did not spare, 2 Peter 2:5. Adonai did not spare the ancient world. On the contrary, Adonai preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, and brought the flood upon the whole world of ungodly people. God is always calling out a remnant. God has always had a faithful remnant through every generation. As we follow in his provision, we continue to walk as his holy remnant. There's a choice, my brothers and sisters. Let's continue. Are not Adonai's ways higher than our ways? Haven't we all found this to be true? Wherever there was before ever recorded a flood in the earth, never. Never. The scripture speaks of no floods up to the time when Noah went into the ark along with his family and those animals. Was there ever rain recorded in the scripture? No. Never. So then everything that was experienced by Noah up to this time didn't make sense what Adonai Yeshua was proclaiming to him to come to pass. He shared with him two new words, rain and flood. Never seen it, never experienced it. But by faith, believing in every word that proceeded through Adonai Yeshua, his revelation to Noah, he chose to believe. Even though it went beyond his intellect or anyone that he could find and ask them the question, have you seen a flood? Have you seen rain? No. Just think about the very first time that his wife heard this from him. What are you talking about, rain and a flood? What are you, Meshuggah? Are you crazy? That could have very well been her reply. Could you imagine what the neighbors were saying? Hey, did you hear about that guy, Noah? Yeah. Did you hear what he's building? No, what's he building now? He's building an ark. What's an ark? I don't know. Well, it's kind of like a boat. What's a boat? I don't know. It's never listed in the scripture. Well, it's this thing made out of wood, he says. And God's told him to build it. And that if we believe and trust, we will then receive salvation, which is Yeshua. Can you imagine this? Noach was 500 years old when he got the news of his deliverance for him and his family and anyone else who would receive that word. And for 100 years, he not only proclaimed it through his mouth, but by his actions. He had to allot time every day to allot time to work on that ark, that floating sukkah. Because he had to take care of the animals that were given to him. There were other chores to do. There were other things on the honey-do list that his wife gave him to do. So for over 100 years, he faced ridicule and persecution. We at times feel that if it lasts a day or even a few hours, oh Lord, deliver me. But just think of that. Day in, day out. And not only was he persecuted and reviled against and thought that he was totally beside himself, but I believe this, that his sons received the revelation of trust because they saw it lived out in their father's life. And so did his wife. Think of the ridicule. Oh, you're not going over to Noah's wife's house, are you? Are you kidding? Her husband is a madman. He's completely beside himself. He is completely nuts. And look at that thing there, wasting all that time. Look, they've cut down all their forest. They have no more trees. They've cut down their fruit trees. They've cut down everything. And they're loading it in this big ark. How foolish. That's what we look like to the world. Completely out of our minds because we're believing in the promises of God. But we haven't faced very much persecution here in America. But persecution is coming, and our hearts should not be faint, but we should be emboldened because then we are counted worthy to suffer for Adonai Yeshua's name's sake. Goes on to say here, and I'll continue reading. And this is what Noah did and all that God had ordered him to do. And Adonai said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen you alone in this generation are righteous before me. Of every clean animal, you are to take seven couples. Notice that, seven couples. See, Noah had the revelation of what a clean and unclean animal was. Before the law, before the Torah. And of the animals that are not clean, take only one couple. Also, the birds of the air take seven couples in order to preserve their species throughout the whole earth. For in seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. I will wipe out every living thing that I have made from the face of the earth. Noah did as all Adonai ordered him to do. Noah was 600 years old when the water flooded the earth. And Noah went into the ark along with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives. Because of the flood waters, of the clean animals and of the animals that are not clean, of the birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, couples, male and female, went into the ark as God had ordered Noah. And after 7 days, the water flooded the earth. And on the seventh day, the second month of the 600th year of Noah's life, all the foundations of the great deep were broken up. And the windows of the sky were open, and it rained the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On that same day, Noah entered the ark with Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, Noah's wife and their three wives and his sons accompanying them. They and every animal and every species and all the livestock of every species, every animal that creeps on the ground of every species and every bird of every species and all sorts of winged creatures. They went into the ark, couples from every kind of living thing that breathes. And that those that entered went in, male and female, from every kind of living being, as God had ordered him. Adonai shut him inside. Adonai descended upon the earth, and he shut that door. He did not send Gabriel, or Michael, Michael, the angels, to come and shut the door, but he personally sealed it. We can see a type of that, can we not? When God delivered our Jewish brothers and sisters from Egypt, what was over the door? The blood of the Lamb. The promise of Yeshua. It was a promise, the literal promise, the physical being of Yeshua that closed that door that day. No enemy could destroy that door. Our salvation is sealed in Yeshua. The flood was 40 days on the earth, and the water grew higher and floated the ark, so that it lifted it up off the earth. And the water overflowed the earth and grew deeper until the ark floated on the surface of the water, the floating sukkah. Remember the 18 inches? There's an opening where they could see the constellations, the glory of Adonai. The water overpowered the earth mightily, and all the high mountains under the entire sky were covered. The water covered the mountains by more than 22 and a half feet. And all living beings that moved on the earth perished, birds, livestock, and other animals, insects, and every human being. Why are you pausing? If not by the grace of God, there go I. Every human being, except for those who walked and trusted, felt persecution for over 100 years, they're the only ones that receive Yeshua's salvation through that floating sukkah, the ark. Everything in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life. Why are you pausing here? Because everything that ever lived had the breath of God breathed into its nostrils. Both human beings and animals. Because all life comes. And comes from whom? It says that nothing was ever created without Him, the Son, who breathed life into all being. Let's continue. Whatever was on dry land died. He wiped out every living thing on the surface of the ground. Not only human beings, but livestock, creeping animals, and the birds of the air. They were wiped out from the earth. Only Noah was left, along with those who were with him in the ark. The water held power over the earth for 150 days. I heard one rabbi say one time when he was teaching on this portion, he believes that the tears of Adonai, Abba, our Father, and Yeshua, his Son, along with the Ruach HaKodesh, shed tears that day. Because it said this, it did not gladden God's heart when Pharaoh and his army drowned in the sea. Because here were individuals who sealed their fate in not believing him. Because they had all those signs and wonders of the one true God were with the Jewish people, and they did not repent. God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the livestock with him in the ark. So God caused a wind to pass over the earth. The Ruach is coming back, bringing back life. The water began to go down. Isn't it amazing? Yeshua walked upon a storm sea of Galilee. And his Talmudim were amazed. They said, look at this. The wind and the waves, they're under his authority. Also, the foundations of the deep and the windows of the sky were stopped. The rain from the sky was restrained, and the water came back completely covering the earth. It was 150 days, and the water went down. Can you imagine that? 5 months being in that floating sukkah, taking care of the animals, and seeing the stars in the sky and the constellation, knowing that the promises of God are still there, for he has his holy remnant within the Sukkah, the great place of deliverance. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The water kept going down in the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains were seen. After 40 days, twice, Moshe went up two separate times, because when he came down, he saw the Jewish people in their rebellion. He broke those 10 commandments. So he had to go back upon that mountain, fasting another 40 days to receive the laws of God. We spring fast forward. Who also, after he received his mikvah, Yeshua, by his cousin, Yohanan, the immerser, for 40 days he was led into the wilderness, and he fasted and prepared for his time of calling into the ministry. Let's continue. Noach opened the door of the ark, which he had built, and he sent out a raven, an unclean bird, which flew back and forth until the water had dried up all over the earth. Then he sent out a dove. What is the sign of the dove? The Ruach, the Spirit of the living God. What descended upon Yeshua when he arose up from that water after being mikvahed by his cousin Yohanan? The Ruach, the Spirit of the living God, descended upon him. And the voice cried out, "Behold, this is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased." That's our heart's desire, every Talmidim, every disciple of Yeshua, to hear those words spoken over us. In you, you fill in the blank. Adonai, your Father, is well pleased with you. Let's continue. So they sent a dove to see if the water had gone from the surface of the ground, but the dove found no place for her feet to rest. Notice the raven did not return. It was an unclean bird. So she returned to him, a faithful servant, to the ark. But the water still covered the whole earth. He put out his hand and took her in the arm into the ark. He waited another 7 days, another Sabbath. Wait a second, that's before Torah. Yes, but the Lord created the earth for how many days? 6? And he rested on what? Shabbat. It's all in here. He waited another 7 days again and sent a dove out for the ark. The dove came into him then the evening. Then in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf, the symbol of peace. Our faith is based in what? An olive tree. Our Jewish roots. It's all there. Let's continue. Freshly plucked olive leaves. So Noah knew, that the water had cleared from the earth. He waited another 7 days, another Shabbat, and sent out the dove, and she didn't return to him anymore. Because she was unfaithful? No. Because she was walking and nesting in the provision of Adonai Yeshua. By the first day of the first month of the 601st year of the water had dried up, and off the earth. So Noah removed the covering of the ark, and he looked. He took the covering off his sukkah, his floating sukkah. And he looked, and yes, the surface of the ground was dry. It was the 27th day of the second month, and the earth was dry. God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out every living thing that you have with you, birds, livestock, and every animal that creeps on the earth, so that they can swarm on the earth. Be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives. Every animal, every living thing, whatever moves on the earth, the birds and their families went out of the ark. Noah built an altar to Adonai. The very first thing he did is he went and he built an altar that he may give thanks to Adonai for his deliverance through Yeshua, his salvation. Then he took from every clean animal, every clean bird, and he offered burnt offerings on the altar. And Adonai smelled sweet aroma What did we do Thursday night? We gave a fragrant offering here. I had to be here. I had to travel 200 miles, 250, over 250 miles to be here. And today I traveled another over 250 miles. Why? To be obedient. If he owns us and he owns everything we have, when he asks us to do something, don't worry about what others think. Do what is pleasing in his sight. Follow his commands and he'll provide for you. Let's continue. Adonai smelled the sweet aroma, and Adonai said in his heart, I will never curse the ground because of humankind, since the imagings of a person's heart are evil from his youth. Nor will I ever again destroy all the living things as I have done. So long as the earth exists, sowing time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night will not cease. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of dread of you will be upon every wild animal and every bird in the air and every creature populating the ground and all the fish of the sea. They have been handed over to you. The authority was given back for a time. Let's continue. Every moving thing that lives will be food for you, just as I gave you green plants before. Now I give you everything. Only the flesh, its life, which is in the blood. That's before Torah. We're to pour out the blood when we sacrifice the animal, cutting its main artery in the neck. Here it is, before the law was given, the Torah. Here is written. Only with the flesh, its life, which is blood. You are not to eat it. I will certainly demand an account for the blood of your lives. I will demand it from every animal, from every human being. I will demand from every human being an accounting for life of his fellow human being. Whoever sheds human blood, by human blood, with his own blood, shall be shed. For God made human beings in his image, and you people, be fruitful and multiply, and swarm the earth and multiply it. And God spoke to Noah and his sons with him, and he said, as for me, I am herewith establishing my covenant with you. A second covenant. The first was the Adamic covenant. Now we have the Noah covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God, is he not? And he establishes it. I'm establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you. That's to all the nations. Not just to the Jewish nation, but to all the nations. Let's continue. And with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every wild animal with you, all going out from the ark, every animal on earth, I will establish my covenant with you that never again will all living beings be destroyed by the waters of the flood. There will never again be a flood to destroy the whole earth. God added, here is a sign of the covenant that I'm making between myself and you, every living creature with you, and for all generations yet to come. I'm putting my rainbow in the cloud. It will be a sign of the covenant between myself and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth, the rainbow is seen in the cloud. And I'll remember my covenant, which is between myself and you, and every living creature of any kind. And the water will never again become a flood to destroy all living beings. The rainbow will be in the clouds so that when I look at it, I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of any kind on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is a sign of the covenant which I have established between myself and every living creature upon the earth. And what did Rabbi say here recently? He saw a brilliant rainbow upon this area. And we were in the center of the arch, were we not, Rabbi? Mm-hmm. Praise be to God. Amen. Walk therefore in his provision, for you are his possession. Everything, if you truly believe this, And I mean truly, truly believe this. When Adonai calls you to do something, you must obey. Because your life is his. And everything you possess is his. Great time to take up an offering, but I'm not going to. To his name be all praise and glory and honor. Amen. Husband Tim.